Well, God bless everyone in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to another fellowship. And fellowship is a very big word and very important, and God's been working this in my heart for quite a while now. Being in the UK, we are pretty isolated from much of everybody else, apart from the connections we have on the Facebook or Skype, or if we go to visit another country. And fellowship is just such a big thing, and all of us as believers need fellowship. So this is not just coming to fellowship. There's a reason for this fellowship. That number one, God ordained this, that we, as the body of Christ, could fellowship for that spiritual nurture and growth and comfort of one another. Really, our first fellowship is with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to go through some scriptures about fellowship. Very important. If you go to 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start in this area. This just really hit my heart. You know, just traveling recently to Finland, we had a lovely time in Finland, and the believers were together, and it was the first get together for a long time, over a year I think, or a year for me anyway. The last time was in Norway, when everyone got together, and Heikki Pekkarinen taught on the Book of Romans, which was a wonderful time. And then the next time in a big fellowship with everyone together was just recently. Well, that's a long time. That's like over a year or a year. A lot of things can happen in 6 months or in 2 weeks, let alone a year. And I think one of the biggest things I miss is the fellowship of the believers. And God really would have us to be together. As much as we can be together, then we should be together. And we should make a great effort to do that, you know, on a more regular basis. I know that people work and people have schedules, and sometimes it's tight. But for the ones that can make themselves available, know freely from their hearts because they want to be with the believers, then we should do that. And I would really encourage this together more. And I'd just like to also welcome to the fellowship Russell Sina and his wonderful wife Shirley, and they've joined us on Skype from the USA. And it really blessed me, because like I've always said, you know, believers live in different countries, but we're the part of the one body of Christ. There's no difference. God is working in us, and he with us, and he loves us, and he cares about each and every one of us. And so this really blessed me when I was in Finland coming home at the airport. Russell messaged me on Facebook and asked if he could join up with our fellowship, and I was just very thrilled. And it just confirmed what God put in my heart, that more people will connect up like this way. So it's really great, and I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. When we set our heart on God and what he's going to do in our life and in our walk and in our ministry, and then we can expect great things, and God's going to do great things. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And we know, a lot of people know, that this word fellowship is koinonia. And it's like an intimate relationship, an intimate full sharing of hearts, nothing withheld, but it's a full sharing where, you know, where there's love and there's encouragement, there's growth. And really that fellowship is with the Father first and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've always said, our fellowship with the Father reflects in our fellowship with one another. And we can see, really, you know, there might be times when you've been talking to someone that is a believer, and You can tell if that person's been spending time with the Father. And sometimes people could just be having such a hard time that they're not hearing God, they're not seeing God. But it's with that physical fellowship with the believers that they can be ministered to, they can be encouraged, they can be inspired. And that's why fellowship is just so important, with God first and then with one another. And God really wants this to happen on a more regular basis. And in verse 4 it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." God wants our joy to be full. And that fullness of joy is when we're in that relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another, that we can really milk everything God's given us in Christ, right? That we can see that sonship living in each other, that we can see that power there, we can see that love there, and that we can really encourage one another. Verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship," a full sharing with the Father, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, our walk is not really right on there, you know, and we're not going to be really that effective if we're saying that we got fellowship with the Father, but we're living contrary to that, that we're speaking contrary to that, then really we're lying. We're not really going to manifest that fullness and light that God's given us from being in fellowship with God. It says, but if we walk in light as he is light, we have fellowship, all right, that full sharing one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. So that's just basically, if we walk in light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. So truly to have fellowship with one another is when we're walking with God, that we're in relationship with God, that we're listening to God, that we're practicing the things and doing the things that he's putting in our hearts to do, then our fellowship with one another is going to be hot. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be a blessing. We'll see past the negatives. We'll see past the faults in one another. We'll be seeing each, you know, as we are in Christ, not in the senses. We're to see the Christ in one another. If we're not in that relationship with God, seeking his heart, that tenderness, that compassion that God wants us to manifest, then it's not going to be in our fellowship with one another. We're going to be bickering. We're going to have divisions. And if there is a disagreement, if we are in fellowship and walking in that love, then that love covers a multitude of sin. That love is going to be there to pick the other person up, to give that other person time to see that they may be wrong or they may be walking in error. And we're not fault-finding. We're not looking for the faults in one another, but we're looking to encourage one another. So our fellowship vertically and horizontally is vital if we're going to be strong and move together in unity and purpose. So our first fellowship is with God vertically. We get that right on. We know who we are in Christ. We know we got direct access to God. We know we're righteous. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're redeemed. We're not saved because we're so good. We're saved because Jesus Christ was so good and what he done and what he accomplished. We're not saved because we're special, but we're saved because of what Jesus Christ done. And we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead. That's the only reason why we're saved, right? A lot of people say, Lawrence, you know, my old friend would say to me, look at all the bad things you've done. You know, you can't be a Christian. You're trying to be something you're not. I said, no, I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ done. It's his goodness and me believing on him that I'm a Christian, that I'm filled with the Spirit of God, that I'm a born again of the Spirit of God. It's not based upon anything good about me, but it's all about him. If you go to 1 John chapter 2, there's some more records I like to read, which are just wonderful records. And I know a lot of people know about koinonia, full sharing, fellowship, but it's good to be reminded. It's good. That's why we have the fellowship, so that we can provoke one another unto love and to good works, that we can remind one another, that we can encourage one another, that we can build one another up. If we're really going to do that, we need to be walking with the Father, right? We need to have that fellowship. And that's why we also got the gift of Holy Spirit, that we can really speak in tongues. And God wants us to be confident sons of God. And he wants us to really walk in that love. Because if we are really walking in love, then we're really walking in faith and we can walk in his power. And there's nothing that God ain't going to do. He's there. He's waiting for us on these things. If they're never addressed, then we can never be reminded of them to do them. And in 1 John 2, verse 9, it says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth, and this word hateth means to detest or to love less or to pursue with hatred, right? But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. And I looked up that word hate just to get an understanding of it, and just to see that he that, you know, we can have a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ that just really get up our nose in the senses. And because if we're in our five senses at that time and not walking by that Spirit, then we can start to detest people, right? Or love them less. You know, God doesn't want us to love people less because they may not be so knowledgeable or because they don't minister with the power of God or this kind of stuff, right? There's many reasons we could detest someone as a believer. Perhaps someone's moaning all the time or complaining all the time, I don't know. But so we don't love anyone less. But when we're walking with God, we're loving with that love of God, that pure love of God. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. This is verse 11. And walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. When we're thinking like that, then we're walking in darkness. If we're thinking that about another, especially a brother or sister in Christ, then you're walking in darkness, because I didn't say that, right? The Word of God says that. 1 John chapter 4 says, if any man, verse 20, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if any man say, I love God, and hateth, or detest, or love less, or you're pursuing that person with hatred, his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And it's just very simple to understand that. To always measure where we are in our walk. And sometimes we just might get a little bit hasty in situations. We might get a bit angry in situations. But when we come back to the Word and what God has said, and then remind ourselves of these things, and it really helps us to walk more perfectly. 1 John 4:21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So that's pretty simple. If you go back a chapter to chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, it says in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us. So Jesus Christ has laid down his life for us, right? He done everything the Father wanted him to do to perfection. And we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. How many times have we had an argument with someone and just walked away? Really, we can come up with all excuses why we walked away. Surely we should be restored in those situations. And if someone doesn't want to be restored, there's not a lot you can do. But you can always walk in love with that person whenever you see him. Because this is what God wants. This is very important. In John, we'll see what Jesus Christ had to say about this. In John chapter 13, I'll let you get there. John chapter 13, and in verse 34 it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, verse 35, all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And like I said, love covers a multitude of sin. You know, so there may be a believer that's upset you or done something wrong. But really, we just need to determine to do what God says. And God will work in you to give you the strength and the heart to have that forgiveness. And if you need to forgive someone, or to go and say sorry to someone, if you need to say sorry to someone. Because, you know, when you're in the new man, not in the old man, then you can do these things. When you put on the mind of Christ, see, every day we decide whether we're going to walk in that old man or that new man. And that's why our fellowship with the Father is so important, that, you know, when we get up, the first thing we do, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, in the sense of speaking in tongues. No, we speak in tongues as much as we can. That is our fellowship with God by the Spirit. And then we put his Word in our heart and in our minds. Just do what God puts in your heart. If you're going to be led by God, you've got to go to God. You've got to seek his heart. What does he want you to do? Where does he want you to be? He might want you to reach out to someone. He might want you to go to someone. Sometimes, I know we've said about connecting, that we let people come to us. But sometimes we need to go to people. And God will show you when to do that. And I had this conversation with a believer in Finland. This is just so important, that there's a lot of people I suck around waiting for them to connect to me, when really, who am I? You know, God can work in me also to connect to them. When God shows us to do it, then we ring them, we call them, or do whatever it is God shows us to do. There's a believer that I haven't really been connecting with. And I received a letter from them, and it really, they was just sharing their hearts with me. And I thought, my gosh, you know, what are you doing, Lawrence? You could have been in there with these guys. You could have been helping these guys. And so I've made up my mind. I contacted them, and I want to go and see these people, and I will. And so, you know, God is teaching us and working with us, but we just got to be willing to do what God says. We got to be willing to change as well. You know, we might have been practicing for so long, and it might not be 100% right. When God shows you to change those things, then you change those things. So All this comes through your fellowship with God, reading His Word, praying, letting Him speak to your heart. So it's through our fellowship we can be strengthened. It's through our fellowship we can be encouraged. It's through our fellowship we grow together. It's through our fellowship we build unity, right? It's through our fellowship we can pray together and pray for each other. And it's through our fellowship we can edify and build one another up. And that's why we need to fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you go there, we look at these wonderful records again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. For He, God, is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Well, how are we going to do that if we don't fellowship regularly? How are we going to do that if we don't get together, if we don't call one another? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Right, this is what God is saying. He says, look, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right, Christ is going to gather the church anytime, anytime. So we need to exhort one another. We need to be together as much as you can fellowship, fellowship. If you can fellowship daily, I encourage you to fellowship daily. It ain't going to hurt you to pick up the Skype if you've got Skype and you want to call another believer across the world to have some fellowship. It's not beneath you to do that. We should do that if God leads us to do that, if we're inspired. You haven't spoken to someone for a long time, but God says you go and speak to them, to go and bless them. They might need you. They might need to hear from God via you. Go and do that. Sometimes we can put things in place and then make that the rule, make that the law. So like connecting. Okay, well, I'm not going to call them until they call me. Okay, hold on a minute. Is that a law now? Or are you letting God work in you? Now, we can see that that's a good thing at the right times. We also know that Jesus Christ didn't run after people. People came after Him. But we also know that after, in His resurrected body, He appeared and made a nice little breakfast for Peter. He appeared to the disciples behind the closed doors. Some believers might be behind closed doors and you might need to go and appear to them, right? God might want you to be His mouthpiece to them. He wants you to be His extended love to them. It's all about love and compassion. It's not about being right all the time. The right thing is to love God and to love others. And that's the high priority, is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love one another as ourselves. And sometimes, you know, if I'm honest, I haven't lived up to that at times. More and more I'm seeing the need for that, that we need to do things that we've been taught maybe not to do because we see a pattern in the world or something like that. But how is that being led by God as well? No, God might want you to do something that is needed, but if we stick to the letter of the law like the Pharisees did, then the needs go unmet. Because the Pharisees knew the scriptures, but was the needs of the people being met? No, they brought in their own stuff, and that's what we could do as well. We could add to things thinking it's so godly, but we've got to let God work in us. And I want to read Acts chapter 2 now. We can see this was when the church received Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, and Peter gave his great speech. People, they, you know, they was all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues, and then Peter stood up boldly, and God was working in him, bringing the word to his mind to hold forth power. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word," Peter's word, "were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continue steadfastly," or they were constantly diligent, "in the apostles' doctrine." What the apostles were holding forth, their word, their doctrine, they were continually, or they were constantly diligent in that doctrine and fellowship. Now that full sharing, that heart, that's the same word there, koinonia, that full sharing, and in breaking of bread and prayers. You cannot break bread together and you cannot pray together if you're not together. These things are very important. Jesus Christ broke bread with his disciples and other people. He prayed with people, he sung hymns. These things are just so important. And, you know, especially the singing. That's so important too. God encouraged it all through his word. "And fear," verse 43, "came upon every soul, There was great respect and reverence, and so many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When that love, that tenderness, that like-mindedness, that fellowship is there, then we're going to see these great things happen amongst ourselves or where we're fellowshipping. And just because we have a little fellowship here doesn't mean to say we're the elite here. You know what I mean? There's other brothers and sisters in Christ God wants us to be with. But I see a lot of fellow people, a lot of pockets of people isolated that don't have a regular fellowship. Maybe we need to step out of our fellowships and extend ourselves to other believers that need that. You know, these are just things that are in my heart and I'm just sharing as well, based upon what I'm reading from the Word, because we don't see these things in the fullness of how it can be, because we get uptight about little doctrines that we may not agree on. You know, there might be something in the Word, it might be a Greek word or a Hebrew word that we don't agree on the sayings, and a lot of people forsake the fellowship together because of that. Like I say, love sees further than that, and God can work in every situation. And I would say, you know, where we don't agree together, we can put those things aside we don't agree on and move together on the things we do agree on. And then God can enlighten the rest of that. Anyway, verse 44 says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. They shared the things, right? Verse 45, and sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. So every need was met because of that fellowship. Not one person went without. And it reminds me of, like, with Moses, you know, none of their clothes wore out, none of their shoes wore out, they were fed, every need was met. And that's what God's heart is. And that's not just for the material things. God wants every need met within the heart, in the mind, in the body of people. And it's through this fellowship with God and the fellowship with one another that these things can come about, that needs can get met. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord. They had that one accord, they had that unity and purpose, right? Which means commencement. Unity and purpose is commencement. They could move forward. And continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were so thankful. They were so blessed. And they shared what they had, and they went to each other's places. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to each other's fellowship. If you're in a local area and you've got six or seven fellowships, don't stay distant, stay together. Visit one another, encourage one another. Be that example of love. Be that example and let the Word live in you. Let people see the Word living in your life. Let people see the Word living in our lives. The book of Acts living in our lives, the principles from the Word of God living in our lives. Let it be living in real in front of people. Verse 47, it says, and they were praising God. Right, these guys were just so blessed. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. There you go. Their lifestyle was showing forth the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He added to the church daily, not every other month or every other year or once in a blue moon. It was daily because the grace of God was abounding in the hearts of the people, and people were together. They got rid of their, you know, own ideas and took on God's. Let's go to Psalms 133. And everyone knows this record here. It's first one. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that word unity just means together. God wants his people together. Where it is available to be together, we should be together. And if there's someone you don't like too well as a believer, you should renew your mind and let them come and be a part of what you're doing, right? Because God wants you together. It's not about what you think, it's about what God says. Even if they don't agree with you 100%, it's the love that will win people over. Is the compassion that will win people over. It's not excluding people. And I've seen it so many times through my 30 years as a believer, and it's wrong. And, you know, we just need to be honest about these things. And I'm not perfect either. Believe me, I'm not. But when we start seeing the beauty of God's Word and what God's showing us, then we got a great example just there to follow. And with God working in our hearts as well, then great things can really, really happen. We need to rise up. Rise up to the Word. You know, when we rise up to the word, then we can expand to the world. There has to be genuine rise in the people before there's genuine expansion. And that's so true. How are you going to, you know, expand if you can't rise? A company can't do that. They've got to rise. They've got to start showing the quality of their goods and their services, what they're offering. And as they grow in that, then they expand, right? So, you know, it's principles. And if we go by the principle of the word and we see how they moved in the first century church, then when we start rising to the standard of the word and letting God work in our heart by his spirit, then we can expand. But we got to rise up. And a lot of people come to fellowship and they hear the teachings, but do they apply them? I don't know what people do in their personal life after they come to my fellowship, and they don't know what I do. Well, they do, because they see my life is an open book, known and read of all men. I don't hide nothing. I wear my heart on my sleeve. And I'm not perfect in what I do, but I do the best I know to do according to my understanding. That's all we're responsible for, to do what we understand to do according to our understanding. And that's where sometimes we come at loggerheads with other believers, because our understanding may be different. It doesn't mean to say they're wrong. It's just where people are in their walk. I'm praying to God, Lord, just, I don't want to be narrow-minded. You know, give me a big heart, so that I can, you know, really see the different needs and not be judgmental at times, you know, and help me to walk with that mind of Christ, that love of God, seeing the heart of individuals, no matter what their background is. You know, I went over today to pick up the car where Kim parks it, and I needed the car. And as I walked over, I seen one of these, a girl who happens to be a lesbian. And when I used to do the sandwich van, she used to buy food off me, and I always shared the word with her. And she was always open to it, even though she, you know, that's her sexual orientation. But I seen her today, and I went up and I gave her the biggest hug and blessed her. And she was just so thrilled that, you know, that I remembered her and I was kind to her and I shared the word with her again. It's just great. You know, it's the love of God that leads people to repentance. Again, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins unto them. See, we don't look at that. We have to look past that. We need people's hearts. That's it. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We just need to break some boundaries off our thinking at times, you know. And I know I'm talking to some people that's going to be listening to this. You may not hear it right this second, but when you do hear it on the blog, I know I'm going to be talking to some people that's going to help them. And that's all my heart is to encourage people. I make available the teachings in this fellowship to everyone, because that's how God works in my heart. And I know a lot of people are listening, and a lot of people are getting very blessed. And I get messages which encourage me to continue to do that as well. And I'm just going to be as honest as I can in what I understand and what I know, and be very direct in some of the things I really believe in, because that's how we should be, as God works in us. Ephesians chapter 4, again, another wonderful record. There's only a couple more records we're going to look at, and then I'll close out. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3, it says, endeavouring, or making an effort, to keep the unity. And this word unity is agreement. God wants us in agreement. He doesn't want us in division. He doesn't want us bickering all the time. But he wants us in agreement. And when our heart is for God, then we can come into agreement. Some people might be awkward. That's fine. We still love them. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Why? There's one body. You might go to a different church, but you're still in the one body of Christ. You might go to a different fellowship, but we're still in the one body of Christ. And we, you know, we should get used to being together, because we're going to be together for eternity, right? There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I mean, how simple can it get? How clear cut is that? You don't even need to add anything to that. It's showing you the heart of God and what he wants for us. And God really wants fellowship, us to fellowship with him. And he doesn't want that fellowship to be hindered. And our fellowship with him can be hindered if we got a problem with everybody else, because someone's got a different view on things. And that will hinder your fellowship. Just go and read 1 John that we just read. It shows you that if you read it, if you let God work in your heart to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I love this here as well. Verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm doing the exact same thing right now. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Division is the opposite to unity, is the opposite to that beautiful fellowship, that full sharing. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's why we need the word, because that word will keep you in the same mind and the same judgment. And then it's through our fellowship with God that that will play out. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? No! Was Paul crucified for you? No! Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No! Right, well, who are the leaders today? Who has a sphere of influence today in your life? Well, was that person that's leading you crucified for you? No, Christ was. He's the head of the church. That's our leader. If anyone asks me who my leader is, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body. Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I am baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news. And that's what we're called to do, right? To preach the gospel of Christ, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So it's very simple. If you jump down to verse 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How beautiful is that? You can read the whole thing yourself. And I want to finish off with this one verse of scripture in Romans chapter 8, which always blesses me. And it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. Listen, if you're born again of God's Spirit, all things are working for your good, regardless of what anyone says about you, or he's up the left, or she's up the right, or he's down the middle. Listen, we are called into one body. If you're filled again with the Spirit of God, you've got God in Christ in you, you are God's kid, he loves you dearly. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should love one another dearly. And that's where the renewed mind comes in. That's where we put on that mind of Christ. That's where we need to know what the word says, how God would have us be, and let God work in us to bring out about those things out of us, so it's in manifestation. So, well, that's what I just wanted to share about fellowship, the importance of our fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. It's just very important that we walk in love, that when we're walking in love, then we're going to be really walking in faith and authority, and we can really be those examples, and people will know, people will see it living in your life, and you can tell a genuine and a fake, because some believers can fake. They can put on the face when they come to fellowship, but it's what they're doing in their life will show the results. So this is what is in my heart and what I wanted to share, and just encourage you to really go to God, really get in that fellowship with him, and ask God to help you to really be that person he's called you to be, who he knows you to be. So God bless you. I love you guys.